Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Gina R. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Wednesday, June 27th, 2018. Today we are reading from the Big Book and we are at page 78, paragraph 2, Most Alcoholics Owe Money, through three paragraphs ending, We Must Not Shrink at Anything. Today's readers are 12 Steps, Valerie B., 12 Traditions, Susan R., and our readers will be Terry H. and John K. The reference numbers for Tuesday, June 26, 2018 are 11,585, and Wednesday, June 27, 2018, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, 11,592. The OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Valerie B. to read the 12 steps. Valerie, press star 1 to unmute.
Hi. Okay.
Thank
Valerie
you.
Valerie B. Oh, sorry about that. Okay. 1, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol and that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for the knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you. I will now ask Susan R. to read the 12 traditions.
Hi, this is Susan R., recovered in Rhode Island. The 12 traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these principles, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me serve.
Thank you, Susan R. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone, except the speakers, should be muted. Today we are resuming our study of the Big Book on page 78, the second paragraph, Most Alcoholics Owe Money, through 3 paragraphs ending, We Must Not Shrink at Anything. I will ask Carrie H. to begin reading.
Hi, everyone. My name is Terry H., recovered compulsive overeater in North Carolina. Very grateful today. Most alcoholics owe money. We do not dodge our creditors. Telling them what we are trying to do, we make no bones about our drinking. They usually know it anyway, whether we think so or not. Nor are we afraid of disclosing our alcoholism on the theory it may cause financial harm. Approached in this way, the most ruthless creditor will sometimes surprise us. Arranging the best deal we can, we let these people know we are sorry. Our drinking has made us slow to pay. We must lose our fear of creditors no matter how far we have to go, for we are liable to drink if we are afraid to face them. Perhaps we have committed a criminal offense which might land us in jail if it were known to the authorities. We may be short in our accounts and unable to make good. We have already admitted this in confidence to another person, but we are sure we would be imprisoned or lose our job if it were known. Maybe it's only a petty offense such as padding the expense account. Most of us have done that sort of thing. Maybe we are divorced and have remarried, but haven't kept up the alimony to number one. She is indignant about it and has a warrant out for our arrest. That's a common form of trouble, too. Although these reparations take innumerable forms, there are some general principles which we find guiding. Reminding ourselves that we have decided to go to any length to find a spiritual experience, we ask that we be given strength and direction to do the right thing, no matter what the personal consequences may be. We may lose our position or reputation or face jail, but we are willing. We have to be. We must not shrink at anything. Whew, that's a lot. You know, when I read this and think about it, it's about, you know, making things right. You know, when I went into recovery and went into this process and started working with my sponsor on the steps, you know, throughout this process, she reminded me a couple of times that I, you know, made a commitment to go to any lengths, you know, to do whatever I needed to do to get to make things right and to, you know, clear those blocks between me and my higher power, to clean up my side of the street. Yes, when I was in the food and my disease, my finances were terrible. I was irresponsible. I ran away. You know, I neglected them. And so now, as a recovered woman, I am doing the things and taking the steps to clean that mess up. It'll take time. But I'm doing it one day at a time. And I'm doing it the best way I can. You know, no matter what, you know, the personal consequences are for me, I want to clear those blocks between myself and my higher power. You know, I need to seek God's direction. I can't do it by myself. And, you know, if I have any blocks, financial, relationships, work, you know, any of those things between me and my higher power, then there is discord, there is disruption, there is resentment, there is fear. And, you know, and that will lead me down a road to using again, to get right back into my disease. You know, I definitely want, you know, to go in the right direction because I want to be of maximum service. That is the key. That is the goal. And I need to seek God's direction. You know, I need to stay connected to my sponsor and to the fellowship. And I need to continually clean up my side of the street. I remember when I was younger, I stole a pair of sneakers from a health club because I didn't have any, so I wanted them and I took them. And, you know, that person is deceased now, so my amends to that and by making it right was to buy some sneakers for an underprivileged child, you know, and those are the things that I can do today to clean it up, be a maximum service, help out, make it right, and don't do it again. To the best of my ability. And so, you know, I don't want to shrink. I don't want to run away. I don't want to hide. I want to show up each day and participate in life and be responsible and do the best I can. And now that I'm not, you know, in my disease, I have a chance, you know, in making the right decisions and seeking God's will. And so I'm really grateful for these opportunities and for my life today. And with that, I pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Terry H. Okay, again, this is Gina R., your moderator today. We are reading on page 78, second paragraph through three paragraphs. Who would like to share on what was read today?
Leah S. H.
Ginger C.
Gotcha.
Kathleen O.
Gotcha. Anybody else would like to join this group, this grouping? Press star 1 to unmute.
Joanne W.
I think I heard Joanne W.
Mary G.
Mary G. I'll take one more in this grouping. One more to make it a half dozen. All right, well, we'll get that sixth person after this lineup. So here are who we have: Leah S.H., Ginger C., Kathleen O., Joanne W., Mary G. Leah S.H., please go ahead.
Hi, thank you. This is Leah S.H. in Portland. This is my first time sharing, actually. So I'm not sure if I'm nervous, but I'm setting my timer. I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. And I just did my amends. And one of them was financial. One of my character defects or bad behaviors was taking candy from the bulk section of the grocery store and eating it while I shopped. And I didn't know how I was going to pay that back because I had no way of knowing how much it added up over time. I mean, I had given it up years ago, and then I just picked up the behavior again last year. So I knew I had to make an amends to at least one of the stores and just took a breath and asked God to help, walked over to the customer service woman, told her what I was doing, and she looked at me kind of oddly. And she says, well, I can't just take money without charging, you know, without ringing something up. I said, okay, I'll just go pick, you know, pick a bin number and just come up with a amount. So I picked 12 pounds, figured, oh, it might've been a pound a month. I really have no idea. And it came to $47 and I gladly gave her the money. And she's like looking at me and I said, I'm making an amends. And she says, I thought I had to do something with that. And I told her I was a sugar addict. And she says, you know what? I am too. And we had a pretty nice conversation. She had just changed her food plan because she was diagnosed with cancer and needed to lose weight so she could actually have surgery. And so just felt like, I mean, I told her about a vision and she said she was fine, but I got the words out and felt like I was, you know, put there by God to have this conversation with this woman. And then I asked my sponsor if I needed to go to other stores. And she says, you know, if you feel complete, then that's good. So it has taken a huge weight off of me because it is something that I've obsessed about. You know, how was I going to repay and how embarrassed was I going to be to make this amends? And it feels really good that it is taken care of. And I guess that's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you, Leah S.H., for your share. Ginger C., you're next, followed by Kathleen O. Please go ahead, Ginger.
Hi, Gina. Good morning. It's Ginger C., recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado. And thank God for these 12 steps, these principles that we're trying to stay in alignment and live by a day at a time. Because it's a moral compass. And for me, my instincts go astray and get really off-kiltered really fast. And then my mind will convince me that it's okay. And, you know, this last sentence tells me we must lose our fear of creditors no matter how far we have to go. For we are liable to drink if we are afraid to face them. I have to do this work completely 100%. And sometimes it gets really hard. And now we're talking about finances. You know, soon we'll be talking about the sex. It's not easy work. But again, what choice do I have as an addict? It tells me very clearly, if I don't do this work and face these fears and walk with God, I'm going to eat. And to eat is to die. So choices are really slim. And again, thank goodness for the guidance of a sponsor. But more importantly, thank God for your higher power. That's when I get pressing in because I do get afraid and I need strength and courage. And God guides me and so beautifully. And then, you know, approached in this way, the ruthless creditor, they may sometimes surprise us. I heard earlier a lady was willing to make this amends so she could look the world in the eye. And her amends, the person didn't even receive the check. They ripped it up in front of her face. So again, willing to go to any lengths, and I love 76, and that it's italicized. It was agreed at the beginning we would be willing to go to any lengths for victory over alcohol. I got to do whatever I have to do. And more importantly, because I have to see my truth. If I don't see how I'm behaving and going through this thing called life, how am I going to change it? How am I going to act differently? How am I going to show up with this God and these principles? I'm going to continue the same mess, the same behaviors, the same harms, and then I'll be eating before I know it. So grateful for this work and to be doing it again with you a day at a time. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Ginger C. Kathleen O., you're next, followed by Joanne W. Please go ahead, Kathleen.
Good morning, Gina. Thank you so much. This is Kathleen O., recovered compulsive overeater in Northern California. And yeah, willing to go to any lengths. It's like, how free did I want to be? And I love that the wording was willing to go to any lengths because there were a few things that I had done that I did not want to make amends for. And I did go into fear. And when I go into fear, you know, things don't work out too well. And so I really, these pages are great because they're just not what I did in the past, but they're also a guide for, you know, every day. If I can be willing to make amends when I do something wrong and trust and rely that, you know, God's going to have my back, I don't need to go into fear. It's where I get happiness and freedom. And And I have found in the past when I did make amends, when I first did this step and you know, I continue to do it on a daily basis when I do harms, but some of the amends that I made that I didn't think I could do, it not only brought freedom and happiness to me, but it also brings it to the people we're making amends to. It takes a great weight off their shoulders, too, that they've probably been carrying around by being harmed by somebody and that person never copping to it. And, you know, as far as financial, I had this boss, and he used to order these commemorative coins, and I would order some, too, and some of them I paid for and some of them I did not. And I thought, I don't even know where he is anymore. I haven't seen him in 10 years. I don't know how to do this. And, you know, and I talked to, you know, fellows and my sponsor, and I said, I don't even know which ones I paid for and which ones I didn't. So I was told that the years that I worked for him to gather up all those coins and be willing to give all those back and to make amends, but I didn't even know where this guy was. So here's what being willing and trusting and relying on my higher power. Out of nowhere, this boss called up another coworker and said he wanted to get together with us. So it's like being willing. It's like, you know, God's like, okay, you're willing. Great. Here it is. I'm going to put it right in front of you. So anyway, you know, he just kind of looked baffled and he said, well, thank you. And why don't you keep some of them? Because some of you pay for it. And I said, no, I want you to take all of them. And he said to me, he goes, you know, there's probably some things like this I need to do too. And, you know, I haven't, what we're reading in these pages is kind of scary. It's like, who wants to go to jail, you know? But I haven't heard anyone that's ever happened to. Most things always turn out really well. And there is such a great weight lifted off our shoulders when we do it. It was for me. And, you know, and I will pass. Thank you, Gina.
Thank you, Kathleen O. Joanne W., you're next, followed by Mary G. Please go ahead, Joanne.
Hi, Melanie. I'm a compulsive, recovering compulsive overeater in Pennsylvania. And talking about finances and listening to everybody's shares and how when I was heavily into my addictions, thinking about all the harm that I did surrounding finances and how many lies I had to tell my husband about bills being paid, not being paid, because I didn't want to pay the bill. I got tired of paying the bills that week or that month. I bought things for my kids and they figured that it was justified because I didn't pay it. I didn't buy things for myself. I bought it for my kids and my husband and just not really honoring anybody, lying to like the bill collectors, they call. I just tell them that, oh, okay, I'll pay you on Wednesday. And when Wednesday came along, I would just hide from the phone call until we got the utilities turned off and got so tired of hiding and telling lies to my husband. He didn't even know what was in the checking account because I would never tell him because it was always minus 200 or something like that and stealing from my kids. I mean, not financially, well, sometimes, I guess, but I mean, even like food-wise, if they buy things, it's like, okay, I want that, and just eating it, and that even like wanting my kids to support me, like if I messed up in a bill, asking my older kids to, okay, owing them like $1,000 at one time. And since then, I'd made my amends with my older son, telling him that I was wrong and that I needed to commit an amends to saying that I should have been able to figure out how to handle it on my own. And my husband, we're in a better place. We did the bills together. There's no more secrets and to people if I promise them to pay a bill or even my mechanic, I truthful to them and tell them that I can't do it and make them other arrangements. And that's all I have to say. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Joanne W. Mary G., you'll be next, but before we have you go, I'm just going to let people know who might have just joined us. We are on page 78, the second paragraph, starting with most owe money, alcoholics owe money, reading through three paragraphs, ending with we must not shrink at anything. So if you'd like to share on this, get ready, and you can press star one after Mary G. shares. Please go ahead, Mary G.
Hi, this is Mary G. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Hi, I'm Mary G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Arizona, presently in Minnesota. And, you know, when I first did the steps, when I was abstinent, it wasn't with a vision sponsor, but it was, I was aware of things that I had so lied to myself about. I wasn't even aware of the lack of honesty in my life. I remember going through and, you know, talking about stealing food when I was a kid from people I babysat for. I didn't even know who they were. But, you know, I would literally raid their refrigerator or their closets. And I was like, how can I ever make an amends for that? You know, where do I do it? And with my sponsor's help, you know, we figured out an amount. And, you know, I gave that to a food pantry who helped homeless people. And, you know, I had an amends at work where I would make copies of the OA phone list of my meetings. And, you know, never dawned on me that that wasn't my ink. It wasn't my paper. And so that was an amends that, you know, I knew who I had to go to. And I'll tell you, you know, that sentence of we are willing to go to any lengths, I was really embarrassed to do this because, you know, I think the company I had already left, I had gone on to another company, but I think they thought very highly of me and would have never dreamed that I would have stolen anything. And so, you know, I didn't go in and try to explain, you know, well, I didn't know that it was really wrong. I just said, you know, I am, you know, trying to make amends for an action that I did that, you know, was wrong. And I gave her a check that, again, my sponsor and I had come up with the number. I really didn't honestly know how many copies I had made. And, you know, she was so stunned. First of all, she didn't even remember that I had ever been heavy. She thought I had been, you know, she didn't realize that I had lost weight or was doing a 12-step program. But she just was, you know, just kind of like, well, I've never had an experience like this before. And, you know, it wasn't long. It took maybe 10 minutes. And, you know, I walked out of there feeling, oh, I am so relieved. The other person I had to be really honest with was my husband, because some of these financial amends, you know, I was married at the time. I wasn't married when I was doing some of this behavior. And so, you know, I needed to share what I was doing and why I was doing it, because it was our finances. And I make living amends now to my husband so far as money, because I used to just go and buy things. I mean, you know, I might wear it once, or I might wear a pair of shoes once, and that was it. Thank you. And with that, I'm going to pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Mary G. All right. Who else would like to share on what was read today? Press star one to unmute.
Robin P.
This is Robin. Brooke, what's your name?
Yes, Brooke.
John K.
What's your name? Brooke, what's the initial of your name?
Brooke M.
Thank you, Brooke.
Judith R.
Got you, Judith. Maybe one more?
Kathy Jo P.
I got you, Kathy Jo. Thank you.
Okay.
All right, let's go with this lineup. We've got Robin G., Brooke M., Kelly C., John K., Kathy Jo P., Judith R. Did I miss anybody? Okay, Robin G., please go ahead.
Thank you. This is actually Robin P., like Peter, in Los Angeles.
hard to understand, no problem at all. I'm Robin P. I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Los Angeles, and thank you so much for your service and for all, everyone who shared. I'm so grateful to be recovered in this program. It's beyond words. I'm just eternally grateful. You know, most alcoholics owe money. When I've worked with my sponsees and when I've, you know, gone through the steps, you know, sometimes I've had to be creative, and people have had to be creative about how to pay somebody back when, you know, we haven't seen them for decades. Or so sometimes I'll, with me, I actually contributed to a charity that seemed like a good fit when I knew I could. I tried to find the person after 25 years. You know, I just couldn't even remember their last name, you know. So, you know, I had roommates where I took food at college, that kind of thing. And so it's such a blessing to be able to give back in the best possible way. And even when, you know, my stepfather had died, and so I was able to contribute to a charity that felt like a good fit. I think that there's always a way to repay, and just because it's for me, it's so that I clear my own slate. And, you know, I think that some of us have more issues around money than others, and thank God there's other 12-step programs, you know, that address that. If it's something really, you know, like Debtors Anonymous and Under Earners Anonymous, it's amazing how many 12-step programs there are, you know, if they're, you know, huge issues. And I'm just so grateful that there's a solution for everything. You know, as an I'm an inventor, and, you know, I have investors, and I have a lot of, you know, customers and things on where I feel responsibility to them, you know, and I just get to keep surrendering it and knowing that it's all in God's hands, instead of taking it on myself that I am God. I am not God. God is God. And I get to be, you know, use my gifts for good and do my best to be of service to God and my fellows. But just to remember that, you know, God's my employer. He's got all the money. I get to do what I'm supposed to do and not take on more responsibility than I'm supposed to, if that makes sense to anybody. I'm just so grateful that there's always a solution to this, to everything, so that we don't live in fear or resentment. And the key is for me to, you know, live happy, joyous, and free as I trudge the road of happy destiny along with you guys. So thank you all, and God bless you in your recoveries. I pass.
Thank you, Robin P. Brooke M., you're next, followed by Kelly C. Please go ahead, Brooke. Brooke, press star one.
Hi, this is Brooke M. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, great. So, first time sharing, long time listener, love Visions for You. About a year ago this time, I was doing my fourth step inventory and, you know, scared to death of what was coming down the line with step nine. The financial piece, as far as the men's, I didn't really think I had anything to work there. And then I, you know, as always, more is revealed as I went through the process of the fourth and fifth step with my sponsor. And, I always controlled the finances in 27 years of marriage and raising children, and my husband being self-employed, he would do little jobs here and there where he would be paid in cash, and he kept a till of money. And I would, you know, just take it upon myself when I needed money for whatever it was, I would just take it. And I did the same thing as far as our finances that we shared in the checking account. I would just, when I wanted something, I bought it, period. I took care of the credit card bills. And you know what? He never asked, and, you know, it was always one of his great characters that he was very generous. And I took full advantage of that. And so it got down to honesty for me, and being transparent and really being fair and just. And for my amends, when it came time for that, you know, I sat down and I told him, you know, how I took advantage over the years. And we came up with a plan, and we looked at all of our expenses, and we looked at our checking account together. And I told him that, you know, from now on, this is my budget, you know, the money that I earn, this is my budget for my fun things that I want. And that, you know, no longer is his little cash till my till, you know, that's the money he earns. And it just brought a lot of mutual respect. And the funny thing was, yesterday I was in a pinch and I needed money to go out to lunch, and I ran down to that till and I took $20, and I didn't even think of it. You know, so I thought of it actually this morning as I'm listening, and I said, oh my gosh, I forgot. You know, I didn't really forget. I chose to forget. And I called him this morning and I said, I took $20. I will be, you know, I will pay you back. I am sorry for that. And thank you for listening. I pass.
Thank you. Thank you, Brooke. It's great to have you online as a first timer. Kelly C., you're next, followed by John K. Please go ahead, Kelly.
Good morning. My name is Kelly T. from New York City. Gosh, I love these steps. You know, just listening in the line, I just realized that there was an amends I did not make. And I'm like, oh my God, how rude of you, Kelly, for not remembering. And I was like, first I was being mean to myself. And then I'm like, no, Kelly, be gentle. It's okay. It's okay. This is beautiful. This is the beauty of recovery, recovered. That I'm aware that I'm present and I'm able to see that this is an amend that I have to do. I have to, there was a speaker that mentioned about going to the store and picking up the food and not paying for it. And I did that way before OA, that I would go to, I went to an M&M stores in the city and I was eating it and walking in the store and did not pay for it. And you know what? I'm grateful that I'm aware of it and I could actually go to the store, speak to the manager, and do my part. Keep my, I'm really open to making those amends.
Kelly, you're cutting out. Can you adjust your microphone? Okay, I'm not sure what happened. John Kay, can you queue up and go next?
Sure. It happens to me all the time. My name is John Kiernan. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Los Angeles. Thanks, Team Wednesday. You know, I love how the big book gets very specific in certain places. You know, we're talking about just regular amends, and then this chunk is so perfect because it gets right into the nitty-gritty of financial amends, you know, and you know, I've said for years that, you know, when you're dealing with a 12-step program, you need faith. And even if it isn't faith in a higher power, it's faith in the process, you know, because there's a lot of places in the steps where it's really uncomfortable. It's front-loaded with pain, and we don't see how it's going to help us until we get out the other side and look backwards. But this is definitely one of them where it really does, when you're done, you see how it helps. You know, in terms of financial amends, my stories reasonably unspectacular. Even my drinking, I had like one bank I had to call up and make arrangements with, but other than that. But one of my favorite stories is a woman in LA here who, I won't mention her name, but she's an old timer. In fact, she's the old timer. She came in a year after OA started and she's still around. She doesn't go to meetings very much. But she tells a story about how she, in addition to being a compulsive eater, she was a shoplifter. And she had to make amends to this company called the May Company, and she lived in the Valley, which is over a little hill here. And she left a note on her on her kitchen table for her husband, says, "I'm going to make amends to the May Company. If you're reading this, I'm in jail. Come get me." And to me, that's it. That's willing to go to any lengths. Now, of course, it didn't happen. The people in the May Company were very confused, but it eventually, it worked out. You know, I think the manager said, "Well, gee, we've gotten a couple of, like, get letters and stuff. We never had to deal with this." But she was willing to go to any lengths to get better because, you know, if you really believe this is a life and death thing, it's not a matter of, oh, I'm going to feel comfortable, I'm not going to feel comfortable. It's a matter of, I could end up back out there and I could end up dead, because I can tell you, having been around as long as I have, there are a lot of people I knew that were in program and they're dead, and I don't want that. And, you know, just one little quick thing about amends. You know, I was rereading, I didn't get on to share the other day when this came up. It's mentioned a little here about you know, reiterating with people why we're doing this. And I always tell my sponsees that even though it says that, and I would never feel uncomfortable or embarrassed about telling people why I make amends, I think we have to be very careful if we're going to do that as to how we do it. Only because if you go to make amends to somebody and say, "Well, I got to make amends because I'm in a program that says I have to," you know, the person's going to be like, "What? Okay, so if you weren't in this program, you wouldn't want to do it." And it's important to remember that you know, we're doing this not only for ourselves, but because it's the right thing to do. And that's what, you know, we've been given a new gift in doing this fourth and fifth step of saying, "Okay, that was our old life. We're done. Now I want to finish this and be able to move forward and not have to not look myself Hi. In the eye anymore." And that's the wonderful thing about programming. With that, I pass. Thanks.
Thanks for jumping in there, John. Kelly T., are you on the line? You had about a minute and a half left before you cut out. Okay, Kathy Jo P., you're next then, followed by Judith R., and if Kelly T. comes back, we can offer her that time after Judith. Please go ahead, Kathy Jo. Kathy Jo, press star one. Kathy Jo, I can't hear you. All right, Judith R., can you press star one and see if you can come in?
Yes, I'm here.
Please go ahead,
Judith.
Thank you.
Thanks, Gina. You're welcome. This is Judith R., gratefully recovered in Vermont. I have several stories to tell about Ninth Step, and the first one is from, I guess, 30 years ago, when I really didn't know what I was doing, but I did an okay fourth step, and I made, I think, two amends, and one was what I just heard this morning called a collateral amend, so that I had stolen a blouse from somewhere in when our dance troupe was on tour, and there was no way I could find that place. So with my sponsor, we thought, okay, so I took a friend's daughter to a store and bought her a blouse, and it was so much fun. And the mom was in OA and didn't have a lot of money, and so it was just a win-win all around, and it was wonderful. And the amazing, I think this is the effect, but I became neutral around the food for about 20 years. I became neutral around the food until I found Vision and realized that I was neutral around the food, but not around my character defects. So the latest, I actually did a preventative Ninth Step the other day when I did my taxes, and I earned an extra bunch of money last year, and when I declared it, the woman who paid it to me didn't want me to declare it, but when I declared it, I went from being paid $500 from the IRS to owing $1,500. And I sat there in his office just going, "This is your money, God. This is your money, God. This is your money, God." And it, I got through it without very much freaking out at all. So what can we do but be grateful for this step that is changing me from the inside out? And I was always such a goody-goody. And it was hard for me to ever admit that I wasn't being good, because I thought God would not love me if I wasn't good. So what a gift these 12 steps are. With that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Judith R., for jumping in. Okay, Kathy Jo P., are you on the line and able to unmute?
Yes, this is Kathy Jo P. in Minneapolis, Minnesota, a recovered compulsive overeater. First of all, I want to say that I did 61 amends. I started this process 2 years ago yesterday, and I'm celebrating entire abstinence as of yesterday for 2 years. And a lot of the amends I did not want to do. And I know there are people that have had to make amends that, in my opinion, they might look more, I don't know what I'm trying to say, but like shoplifting a sweater from a store sounds better than stealing goggles from a swimming pool, which is one of the things that I did. Every time I would take my kids to a pool, I'd go to the lost and found because I, A, didn't want to pay for goggles or I forgot them. And I would say, hey, has anyone turned in some goggles? We lost some the last time we were here. And I would take two or three pairs. There was probably a time where I had 36 pairs of goggles in my bag. So none of my wrongs ever looked snazzy, pretty cool. I was not a cool chick. It was something I would probably never tell anyone because it was so embarrassing. And when it was time for me to do amends to places like that, I did it like all over. Every hotel I went to, every water park on vacation, and I did it for like 5 years. And with my sponsor's help, I ended up writing a check for $500 to a nonprofit that treats compulsive overeating. That's a 12-step based one. And I also used to buy tickets for events and sell them on the property of the vendor. We have a park here inside the Mall of America, and it explicitly says that you cannot sell tickets in there. And I would hide and sneak and go around and sell tickets, which again is completely geeky. And I ended up, when I made my amends, my sponsor recommended that I buy 4 tickets and give them away to people at the Mall of America that look like they need them. I worked through every single amend that I did with my sponsor. I did not do any of this alone. I also stole software from a job that I had that was a nonprofit, and I tried to find my old supervisor and reach out to her, and I ended up writing a check more than the cost of the software to the nonprofit. I want to say that as I went and as I started this process, I started, with God's help, to change my behaviors immediately when I was at step one or two even. All right, I'll pass. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Kathy Jo P. We do have time for 1 2-minute share. I'm just wondering if Kelly T. is back on the line and would like to finish her share. It would take us out. Kelly T., are you on the line? All right, who would like to take about a 2-minute share? Press star 1 to unmute. Any takers for the 2-minute share?
This is Deborah P. from California.
Thank you, Deborah. Hi. Please go ahead. And I've got you. I'm timing you. Go ahead.
Okay, thank you. This is going to be really short. Thank you guys so much. This has been enlightening. I am on step 9. And, oh, my God, I am really, like, blown away by the amends that people have made. I have been, like, pen and paper this morning writing down all of these little things that I was going to take to the grave, all these little amends that I didn't think I had to make, like taking work supplies or taking candy from a store or all of this stuff. And I realized that I can't hang on to this stuff. So thank you guys. You made my list really long, but you know, I'm kind of scared to make them, but I know that I need to. So just going to leave it at that. Thanks so much.
Well, thank you, Deborah P. So we're ending a little bit early, but we're pretty close to 50 minutes after the hour. We will now close with the reading
from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will John Kay please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Sure. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.